Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 46 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
If there's anybody in the Pike County area that needs a Thanksgiving dinner or it would actually help them, please come out to the expo.
Several churches in Pike County are coming together to offer free meals on Thanksgiving.
A Kentucky teen may get help from new medical technology.
Police in Springfield say a possible mass shooting was prevented in the central Kentucky community.
And Ashlyn Mand is facing child pornography charges.
Four people charged in the Roden family murders will soon be in court.
In sports, the UK Wildcats defeated the Winthrop Eagles today in Lexington. For your weather, mostly cloudy, lows around 30 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Those who cannot afford a Thanksgiving dinner in Pikeville can pick up a free meal tomorrow. A group of local churches, collectively called One Church, have come together for the third year of the Community Thanksgiving Dinner. EKB News spoke with Adam Akers, pastor of Liberty Free Will Baptist Church.
By the blessings of the Lord, we actually met our goal. There's actually 4,000 dinners that's being delivered, but we still have 1,000 dinners on site for anyone that needs those. We want to thank the community, the city, the expo. So many people have come out, and we want to stress that if you want to volunteer, you want to help with this, all you got to do is show up at the expo anytime after 8 a.m. on Thursday. Just show up, you'll sign your name at the table, and we'll direct you where we need you to help.
Akers says people in the Pike County area can show up between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. for meals.
The Lexington Habitat for Humanity chapter has dedicated yet another home to a deserving family last Sunday. The organization and several other businesses teamed up to sponsor the home. According to officials, homebuyer Antoinette Screech and her four kids are excited to move from their old apartment into their new house just in time for the holiday season. Screech says she looks forward to making plenty of memories in their new home and wants to thank Habitat for Humanity for giving her this opportunity.
A new medical technology is helping a Kentucky teen after a tragic 2016 accident. Tristan Ballinger was struck in the head with a sword, which put the teen in a coma and resulted in traumatic brain injuries. According to Spectrum News, the Ballinger family spent 2 weeks in Japan to try an experimental therapy that is not yet approved in the United States. Nicole Ballinger, Tristan's mother, says the technology builds a neurological connection.
The suit itself works on a brain electronic connection. So they take sensors. You wear a bodysuit underneath, and they put sensors along your muscles, in your legs, in your arms, wherever it's needed. And they test your brain waves that come through to send to those sensors to show whether you're moving the robot or whether the robot's helping you move.
The Ballinger family has set up a GoFundMe page to help with medical expenses.
The Council on Post-Secondary Education has partnered with six colleges and universities to launch an employability initiative. A statement from the council says the initiative is designed to make sure that students who graduate from higher education programs have essential employability qualities, including people skills, problem-solving abilities, and professional strengths such as work ethic and technological agility. Council on Post-Secondary Education President Aaron Thompson said the program will build progress from the classroom to the workplace by adding value to degrees earned and fulfilling the needs of employers. The institutions participating in the initiative include Bluegrass Community and Technical College, Gateway Community and Technical College, Jefferson Community and Technical College, Kentucky State University, Murray State University, and the University of Kentucky.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center presenting the 34th Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st. A holiday tradition and open to the public inside the Laughlin Health Building on East Main Street in Moorhead. More than 100 regional vendors of handmade arts and crafts, antiques, seasonal ornaments, and decorations. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Officials in Springfield say a report of a suspicious vehicle may have prevented a mass shooting. Police in the central Kentucky community were called to LB Manufacturing Monday, where they arrested 37-year-old Matthew Smith. Officials say Smith had several guns in his vehicle, including a fully automatic AR-15 rifle. Springfield Police Chief Jim Smith says the incident highlights the importance of the see-something, say-something approach.
The two guys just doing their business, just working every day, working hardworking Americans that noticed something and called. Called right then. Did not wait. Notified so we could get involved, and my two officers went out there and put themselves in the line of fire and disarmed this guy.
Matthew Smith is charged with wanton endangerment of a police officer, resisting arrest, attempted murder, and criminal trespassing.
And Ashland Mand is facing child pornography charges. WSAZ reports 23-year-old Craig Alexander faces 50 charges of possession matter portraying sexual performance by a minor. He is also charged with 13 counts of distribution. Police say they had been investigating Alexander for allegedly distributing child pornography over the Internet. Alexander is lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
Four people charged in the slayings of eight people in rural Ohio in 2016 are set for court hearings on aggravated murder charges and other counts. Authorities say the four Wagner family members charged in the shooting deaths of eight Roden family members will be arraigned over the next 2 weeks in Pike County Common Pleas Court in Waverly. 47-year-old George Billy Wagner III is set for a December 4th hearing. His 48-year-old wife, Angela Wagner, is due in court November 29th. Their sons, 26-year-old Edward Wagner and 27-year-old George Wagner, are scheduled for hearings November 27th and 28th, respectively. An attorney who has represented the Wagners has said they will be vindicated. Authorities have suggested a custody dispute over a child as a possible motive.
A Kentucky woman says she was raped after a man offered her a ride. WKYT reports 45-year-old Franklin Faulkner gave the victim a ride on Sunday. Police reports say sometime during the encounter, Faulkner took the woman into the woods and raped her. The suspect's vehicle broke down around noon on Leestown Road in Lexington after the event. When an off-duty animal control officer saw the vehicle and went to investigate, the victim told the officer what happened. The officer then took her to the police station. Lieutenant Jay Hamilton with Lexington Fayette Animal Care and Control says no one knows what could have happened if the off-duty officer hadn't shown up.
We want to help the community, and we're all about helping people and animals. He was just a regular person pulling over to do something good for somebody else, and it prevented something worse from happening.
Faulkner is charged with first-degree rape and kidnapping and pleaded not guilty to those charges Monday. He is lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center.
The search for a missing Harrison County man has been called off. WKYT reports 39-year-old Kelly Hudgens' family says he went missing last week around the South Fork Licking River. Crews spent the last 3 days searching the water for Hudgens. Yesterday, nine boats and four ground crews were dispatched to search for Hudgens, but did not find anything. Regina Kraft is with Harrison County Search and Rescue.
Every day is tough for us because we're going to the family and telling them that, you know, their loved one might not be coming home. In this particular case, you know, we still have a missing person, and we can't, you know, say that for sure that we have him in this water. So it's still a heartfelt issue with the family because they don't know any more than we do.
Cadaver dogs picked up scents that narrowed the search area to the size of a football field, but no other signs of Hudgens have been found.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is calling President Donald Trump's statements on Saudi Arabian involvement in the death of a U.S.-based journalist Saudi Arabia first. WUKY's Josh James has more.
An ally of the president on Russia, Paul has consistently taken a much different stance on Saudi Arabia, repeatedly pushing for a halt to arms sales. On Twitter, the lawmaker responded to Trump's statement, siding with Saudi leaders, writing that he's, quote, pretty sure this statement is Saudi Arabia first, not America first, adding that he believes National Security Advisor John Bolton wrote it. This is Paul on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday.
I think the evidence is overwhelming that the Crown Prince was involved, and so no, I don't think we can sweep this under the rug.
Paul's comments are in line with a reported CIA assessment pinning the blame for the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi on Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Martin County Water Board held a monthly meeting on Saturday to an audience of upset residents. WSAZ reports residents arrived to voice their concern about water issues that have plagued the county for years now. Over the last few months, water bills have shot up 44%. Melissa Maynard and her family were present Saturday. She says she resorted to stealing water in order to avoid paying her growing water expense.
I used to pay my bill on time, but every time the raises went up, I got to choose whether to feed my kids or pay the electric bill or pay the rent.
The Public Service Commission is investigating the board. They cite bad management as the reason for continued issues. Board Treasurer Jimmy Kerr has denied these allegations. Kerr went on to warn residents that the system is still fragile and to keep extra water on hand for winter, when outages are more common.
The Rowan County Board of Education voted to hire a construction manager during a special meeting on Monday. The board accepted a bid from Pax and Walker Company to be the construction manager overseeing the renovation of the Maysville Community and Technical College Rowan campus building. Rowan County Superintendent John Maxey says he's confident the board made the right decision.
Pax and Walker was the construction managers on our Rowan County Middle School as well when we did it, so that's why we elected to go with them on this one.
The building will house the school board's central office, the Rowan County Preschool Center, an alternative school, and space for an ROTC drill room after the renovation is complete. The project is expected to begin in the summer at the end of the school year and is estimated to take about 9 months.
Putting food on the table has become a much bigger struggle for tens of thousands of Kentuckians over the past few months. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has more.
Kentucky began reinstating work requirements for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, on a county-by-county basis back in February. Since May, new data shows 1 in 5 people subject to the requirement have since lost SNAP assistance. Dustin Pugel is with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy.
People who have to adhere to a work requirement often don't end up with any better employment than other people who are like them. It doesn't reduce poverty, and there's some evidence that it could increase the number of people who live in extreme poverty.
From May to September, SNAP participation fell anywhere between 47% in Marion County and 4.7% in Owsley County. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Taking a look at your local weather forecast for the week. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. On Thanksgiving Day, mostly sunny with a high near 43. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 30. Friday, increasing clouds with a high near 55. Friday night, a 90% chance of rain, mainly after midnight. Lows around 43. Saturday, a 60% chance of rain, mainly before noon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 57 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 41 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 62 degrees. Sunday night, a 70% chance of showers, mainly between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 39. Monday, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 46. And Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 31 degrees. Current temperatures in your listening area are 45 degrees in Flemingsburg, 45 degrees in Maysville, 45 degrees in Ashland, 45 degrees in Grayson, 45 degrees in Inez, 46 degrees in Mount Sterling, 47 in Lexington, and 46 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our features segment this afternoon, a Jefferson County native has made his way into the Olympic Team Trials Marathon. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
24-year-old trail runner Zach Bevan has been running for most of his life. Earlier this month, he achieved his dream of qualifying for the Olympic Team Trials Marathon.
A and B standard, and you know, it's kind of technical with that, what the differences are, but basically the governing body for USA Track and Field says that if you hit the world B standard, then you have the right to go to the Olympic trials and compete for a spot on the team because you're eligible to run in the Olympics with that time. So I hit that time. So I'm going to be going to Atlanta to compete for a spot on the Olympic team.
Bevan says he was hooked on the sport at a young age, and his love for it followed him throughout his school years.
Just being around the sport was contagious, and the more that I was around it, the more I fell in love. And it didn't hurt that I found out, you know, 11 or 12, that I was pretty good at it. Then competed in high school and was pretty good at it, competed at UK, and figured that I didn't run great at UK, but figured that I could be a pretty good road runner, so I kept doing it on the road. And there we are.
For a trail runner like Bevan, making it to the Olympic trials is a personal achievement just as good as making the Olympic team.
So the Olympic trials is a great, like, for runners like me, it's almost like the Olympics for us. Just getting to go to that event, stand there with the true internationally competitive runners and line up with them and get to compete with them before they run away and never come back.
Getting his body ready for the 26.2-mile runs, the avid marathoner says pushing yourself in training is essential to getting the body into a rhythm.
A lot of it is running stuff faster than marathon pace, so that when you are running marathon pace, it feels easy. And then other aspects of training are running at marathon pace for extended periods of time so that, you know, your body just kind of gets used to that rhythm. And then when it comes race day, you've done it so many times that you just kind of naturally fall into it and you don't even have to think about it.
Marathon races require runners to maintain a balance as they work to keep a qualifying pace without overexerting the body.
It's just, I don't know, it's a very kind of intuitive feeling pace. Because you want to, you're trying to like run as fast as you can while still remaining relaxed, because you have to do it for a really long time. So you just kind of naturally fall into it, and then you just kind of try to keep that tempo going.
Switching gears from running trails to road running, Bevan has set aside his passion for the trails to make his goal of making the trials.
Another reason I was kind of excited about it is that I think I'm a better trail runner than I am a road runner. But I knew I had the talent on the roads to do this, so I figured I should put my trail career, my trail running, on hold for a little bit, just because once you start doing those longer races on the trails, it kind of, you become stronger, but it takes away some of that speed that you have. So I kind of decided to put the, you know, the 50-100 mile race type stuff on hold for a little bit while I was chasing the 219 trial standard.
Bevan will be heading to Atlanta in February of 2020 to compete for one of the top three positions on Team USA. The 2020 Olympics will be hosted in Tokyo, Japan. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
The time is 4:46. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Cody Robinson, and we're glad you joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with six lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
It's one up for the Cats. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The now 4-1 10th-ranked Kentucky Wildcats took down the Winthrop Eagles 87-74 today. The Cats were on a three-game winning streak heading into today's matchup, which tipped off at 1 o'clock. They were also averaging over 85 points a game. The Winthrop Eagles were coming off a close loss to ETSU Saturday, falling 76-74. Cats coach John Calipari said during a press conference that the main thing his guys have to work on is staying at the same level of play.
You know, it's a consistency, too. Now, like, you can't just be that every third game. You got to be that guy. I've had it where it's been a point guard, but we had Marcus Teague at point, and that not who he was. It was the other guy. So we've done it all kind of different ways, and I'm not budging. This team is, they'll be as good as they want to be, and if they keep growing and getting better and they have great attitudes, and they really do. But we've thrown a tough schedule at them, you know, to start and to get rocked and then to come back with teams that can beat you and then play another team that can beat you, you're like, whoa. It's, you know.
The Cats continue play after Thanksgiving when they take on Tennessee State this Friday at 7 p.m. Senior guard Darian Seward eclipsed the 1,000-point mark for her career as the Morehead State women's basketball Eagles scored a school record tying 121 points in a 121-56 victory over Alice Lloyd on Tuesday morning at Johnson Arena. The Eagles led by as many as 70 points during the game at one point. Morehead State also produced six double-figure scorers, with Elijah June getting a career-high 30 points to lead the Eagles. Morehead State will enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday off before returning to the Hardwood as the Eagles welcome Kentucky Christian for a matchup that will tip off at 6:05 p.m. on Monday. Kentucky junior running back Benny Snell is closing in on the career rushing record. Snell entered the 2018 season needing to rush for 1,412 yards to pass Sonny Collins as UK's all-time leading rusher. Heading into Kentucky's rivalry affair against U of L this Saturday, he trails Collins by 206 yards, but Snell says the record isn't at the forefront of his mind.
I have all my goals above my bed. You know, I look at them and I always keep them in mind. So, you know, I'm always thinking about them. But I like letting stuff happen. And I like, when I'm on the field, like Benny being Benny. But let 2-6 be 2-6. So I don't want to try to force it.
Snell is on the cusp of breaking the record in just his third season in the blue and white. It took Collins 4 years at UK to become the school's all-time leading rusher. Kentucky heads to Louisville for its season finale on Saturday. Kickoff from Cardinal Stadium is set for 7 p.m. Chicago Bears quarterback Michael Trubisky was listed as doubtful today for the Thanksgiving Day game in Detroit against the Lions tomorrow. Trubisky suffered a right shoulder injury in the fourth quarter of Sunday night's 25-20 win over the Minnesota Vikings. If he can't play, the Bears will turn to backup Chase Daniel, who has not started or played extensively in an NFL game since 2014. At 32, Daniel is the oldest player on the Chicago roster and hasn't thrown for more than two passes in a season since 2014 in Kansas City. He does have an extensive knowledge of the Bears' offensive system, though, ran by former Chiefs assistant and current Chicago head coach Matt Nagy. And the Denver Broncos have promoted cornerback Brendan Langley from their practice squad. He replaces veteran cornerback Adam Jones, who was waived Tuesday 48 hours after playing just five snaps on defense and returning a kickoff 16 yards in Denver's 23-22 win over the Los Angeles Chargers. Langley is a 2017 third-round draft pick who played in 11 games his rookie season when he averaged 30.5 yards on six kickoff returns. The 5-5 Bengals are hoping to save their season when they host the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. After a 4-1 start, Cincinnati has dropped four of its last five and is now one of five 5-5 teams in a crowded AFC playoff picture, vying for the last wild card spot. Despite the team's recent struggles, Bengals wideout Tyler Boyd still believes his team can turn it around and get to the postseason.
At the end of the day, I think we're still pretty good. You know, we're still competing in division. We still got three more division games. You know, if we square those away, then we'll be neck and neck with being number one. You know, so I think our chances are still there. We got to win games.
The Bengals face the Browns twice and also head to Pittsburgh in AFC North play during the final six-game stretch. They also head to Los Angeles for a December 9th showdown against the Chargers. The Bengals and the Browns kick off from Paul Brown Stadium at 1 p.m. on Sunday. The Reds have a new addition to their staff. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg has more.
The Reds formally announced two more coaches to new manager David Bell's staff on Monday. They hired J.R. House as their third base and catching coach, and Donnie Ecker as assistant hitting coach. House spent the past seven seasons in the D-backs player development system and just completed his first year as that organization's minor league field coordinator. Ecker completed his first year in the Angels organization as the hitting coach at AAA Salt Lake last season. He replaces Tony Jaramillo, who was the assistant hitting coach under Don Long, for the previous three seasons. The additions give Bell four coaches total following the hiring of pitching coach Derek Johnson and hitting coach Turner Ward this month. Bell and president of baseball operations Dick Williams have more spots to fill on the staff, namely bench coach and first base coach. Bell said it's possible they could be filled by members of the previous staff under Brian Price and Jim Riggleman. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And lastly in sports, having won two of their last four OVC tournament titles, head coach Mike McGuire and the Moorhead State Baseball Eagles are always trying to strengthen their team. He believes he's done that with the addition of 11 newcomers who will join the Eagles beginning in the 2019-20 season. The newest Eagles include current high school seniors Cole Becker, Brady Betts, Brandon Durham, AJ Hacker, Luke Helton, Eli Parks, and Ian Younger. Junior college transfers who will play their sophomore year before joining the program are Alex Jacobs, Cameron Polly, and Bryce Simon. McGuire believes this class will possess the work ethic needed to continue MSU's winning tradition, calling them a blue collar in the bluegrass group. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson, and remember everyone, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Lipscomb this Sunday afternoon at 2:05 and Northern Kentucky on Tuesday, November 27th at 7:35 p.m. Women's basketball hosts Kentucky Christian at 6:05 p.m. on Monday, November 26th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average spent most of the day in positive territory, but did finish with just a slight loss today, just below the flat line. This actually erased an earlier 200-point jump as shares of Apple, failed to hold on to strong gains from earlier in the day. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a loss of 0.95 at 24,464.69. The broader market was stronger, with the S&P 500 up 8.04 at 2649.93, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 63.43, up almost 1% at 6972.25. Even though Apple dropped later in the day, the NASDAQ was helped out by strength in other tech shares like Facebook, Amazon, and Google parent Alphabet, which all climbed more than 1%. And of course, these tech shares, which are part of the popular FANG trade, have been under pressure recently. Through yesterday's close, they were all down more than 20% from their 52-week highs, effectively in a bear market. Foot Locker shares surged almost 15% after the company reported better-than-expected earnings. Its same-store sales, a key metric for retailers, also topped analyst expectations. Other retailers like L Brands and Office Depot also rose ahead of Black Friday, which is, of course, one of the busiest shopping days of the year in the U.S. In economic data, durable goods orders fell 4.4% in October, more than expected, and it also marked the third decline in the past 4 months. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2%, rebounding nicely from yesterday's bloodbath, finishing at $54.48 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,226.50 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were strong today, with the Stock 600 index up 1.18%. And in Asia, most markets were up today, with the Shanghai Composite up 0.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and Microsoft, while the worst performers were Johnson & Johnson and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Foot Locker and Autodesk, and the worst performers were Philip Morris and NVIDIA. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 69 cents at 81.20, CSX up 99 cents at 70.21, Fifth Third Bank down 10 cents at 26.80, Anthem was up $1.12 at 278.98, Marathon Petroleum up $1.85 at 63.74, and Lowe's was up 2.26 to finish at 88.44. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Moorhead State University, Moorhead Conference Center, and St. Clair Healthcare, the City of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. The City of Moorhead can be reached at 606-784-8505, Facebook, and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Moorhead's hometown holiday will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st. Tree lighting ceremony at 5 p.m. on the lawn of the Round County Arts Center. Extended business hours, entertainment, wagon rides, and Santa Claus. The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra performs at 8 p.m. in the Moorhead Conference Center. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
The 34th Annual Appalachian Arts and Crafts Fair will be held inside the Laughlin Building at Moorhead State University from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st. More than 100 regional vendors will offer a wide variety of arts and crafts, antiques, and holiday decorations. Admission is $3. Taking another look at your weather forecast for the week, tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. On Thanksgiving, mostly sunny with a high near 43. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, with a low around 30 degrees. Friday, increasing clouds with a high near 55. Friday night, a 90% chance of rain, mainly after midnight. Lows around 43. On Saturday, a 60% chance of rain, mainly before noon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 57. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, with a low around 41 degrees. On Sunday, it's mostly sunny, with a high near 62 degrees. And Sunday night, a 70% chance of showers, mainly between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m., mostly sunny, with a low around 39 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Naya Ndwaza, Haley Stidham, Brian Courtney, Jack Cottle, Joe Lewis, and Logan Pemberton. KNN's Suzanne Duvall, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. Our feature segment this afternoon came from WMKY's own Nacogdoches Miller. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and a translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All things considered is next. Have a happy Thanksgiving. It's 5 o'clock.